Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse 8, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." Let us pray. Father, I sure thank you again for the Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you again tonight for the privilege of preaching. Lord, we certainly need your power, need your wisdom. I ask you, Lord, to help us to just understand, Lord, tonight, the very seriousness of the hour that we live in. And Lord, keep us busy doing the things we need to do, Father, for your glory. And Lord, ask you to take your word tonight and help us. Lord, each one of us has special needs, and Lord, special things we need helped with. So I ask you to do that in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. You may be seated. We had saw the first vial in verse number 2, the sore. The Bible called it a noisome, grievous sore, an evil, harmful, wicked, vicious, diseased sore that came upon mankind, came upon those who worshiped the beast and took his mark. In verse number 3, we saw there the second vial that was poured out upon the sea, and it became the blood as a dead man, an ever-living soul in the sea died. In the third vial, we saw the vial poured out upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And we heard in verse number 5 and verse 6 and verse 7 the righteousness of God Almighty for doing what he's doing. He is a righteous God, and what he's doing is proper and right. The Bible even says in those verses of scriptures that they shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and now God gave them blood to drink. It's a very horrible time, folks. I personally, as I read these scriptures, and I'm more amazed every time I read them at the awfulness of the tribulation period. I don't even think that we can comprehend. I don't think I can. I'll be very serious, and I try to look at it very closely and all that, but I don't think I can comprehend the awfulness of the tribulation period. It's a horrible, horrible time. And so we then, in verse number 8, we find the fourth vial, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. In this next vial, as you, of course, understand, and you know, if you go back over to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the book of Genesis, you find that God is the one that made the sun. He made the sun, he made the moon, and he also made the stars. He made all of those, so he has complete control over them, of course, because he made them. And the Bible says that this angel here, God has given him power to turn up the heat. How he does that, I do not know. There could be all kinds of speculations, but it doesn't really matter. It's going to turn up the heat. It's going to scorch men. It's going to be awful, awful hot. What I want to do is go back into the Old Testament. I enjoy myself, hopefully you will enjoy it too, I enjoy going back in the Old Testament and finding where God has already prophesied these things. And he said certain things, and it's going to take place. And I enjoy seeing that and reading it back here and then reading it again in the New Testament and seeing how the Word of God is all just fits together like a glove. I mean, I know, we know it does. But I myself enjoy seeing it. I enjoy reading that. I enjoy reading that in the Old Testament. I enjoy then looking over in the New Testament and seeing it and reading it and saying, God, you're just bearing witness with yourself. You're just telling us these things are going to take place. So I'm going to take you back to the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, the fourth chapter. We'll only read one verse of Scripture there, and then we'll turn over to the book of Isaiah just for a few moments. But in Malachi, the fourth chapter, as you remember, we've just read about the heat and the scorching of men during that terrible time. Malachi, the fourth chapter, verse number 1 says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." And I believe again that God's talking about the day of the Lord, this terrible time of judgment. Go with me over to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, the 24th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Again, we'll just here read one verse of Scripture. Not taking a whole lot of time, but Isaiah 24, we'll read verse number 6. He says, "Therefore hath the," and that's verse 6, chapter 24, "Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." Once again, the Lord is telling us, clear back here in the Old Testament, about this day, when this day where men will be scorched because of the heat of the sun. We find also in chapter 30 of the book of Isaiah, verse number 26 and 27. "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the strokes of their wound." And he says also, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from afar, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire." And once again, you know, we need to remember, I'm sure you know this, but we need to keep in remembrance, God hates sin. And you know, you've heard Preacher Ross say this before. We know, and it's not a cliche, it's a truth. God hates sin. He does love the sinner. But you can't separate the two. Did you know it's impossible for a glass of wine or hard liquor to set there and become a sin to an individual until he partakes of it? Did you know it's impossible for, and we know adultery is a sin, but the only way it becomes sin is when individuals partake of it. You can't separate sin and the individual sinner. So again, what I'm saying to us is this: God hates sin. And the thing about it is, we've got to understand his great hatred for sin. We take, I think, pretty light look at it a lot of times. We've been cushioned to do that here in America because of the so much sin around us that we've kind of gotten used to it, and then we just kind of take it as though that's the way it is. But God doesn't just say that's the way it is. God hates sin. And the day is coming when he's going to do, as it said here, "Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from afar, burning with his anger." And so what we're seeing over here in the book of Revelation, we're seeing God burning with his anger. And he's sending the vials of the wrath of God upon this earth. All right. Here we find back in the book of Revelation, the 16th chapter, verse number 8, you see this heat baking down on those horrible sores that we saw up in verse number 2, the first vial. Imagine all of these things accumulating. And then nothing to drink but blood. and the sores hurting, painful. Verse number 11, if you read it, we find that those sores are horrible. They're still there, and the pains are so terrible. We read that they literally gnaw their tongue because of the pains. And so we'll cover that in just a moment. But this great heat, I don't know for sure what this great heat that God is going to send. I don't know how long He's going to turn up the heat. I don't know to what degree He's going to let it do something and do damage to the earth, but we know it's a terrible time of tribulation. And I've wondered myself, what would that great heat do to the ice caps? Antarctica. What would it do to Greenland? What would it do to our south and north poles, this great heat, as they begin to melt? And surely they would. You know what they tell me? I read this. I didn't figure it out. They tell me there is enough ice or water stored in those ice caps to raise the sea level 200 feet. Makes you wonder, don't it? You see, God uses all these things. And it might be good if we just take a little time. Go back with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms, the 147th Psalm. Listen in verse number 15. He sendeth forth His commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoary frost like ashes. He casteth forth His ice like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sendeth out His word and melteth them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. All God has to do is speak and melt those ice caps. Amen? That's all He has to do. Also in the book of Job, the 38th chapter of the book of Job, 22nd verse. Listen to what He says. It's interesting. He says, "Has thou..." This is Job 38, verse 22. "Has thou entered into the treasury of the snow, or has thou seen the treasury of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war?" And if you understand that verse number 22, "Has thou entered into the storehouse?" The word treasury there can be also translated storehouse. "Has thou entered into the storehouse of the snow, and has thou seen the storehouse of the hail?" See, God has all of those for an appointed day. And I'm only reading those to you as a maybe, because we know that heat, definitely being that hot, is going to melt some of the ice caps. We know that. How much? I don't have any idea. But I wondered, if that all of that happens, it makes you wonder sometimes, what's going to happen to these coastal cities such as New York, Los Angeles, Tokyo, amen, Hong Kong, Rome, and many more. What's going to happen to all of those coastal cities? My wife mouthed to me, Cambridge. You got to understand to know that why she did that. Cambridge, as I remember, was a foot over sea level? I think it was only a foot over sea level. Something like that. It's in trouble. It's in trouble now without the water. But anyway, what will happen? What will happen to those places? You see, there's devastation going to be everywhere. God didn't give us every little thing that He's going to do through that time. Much more is going to happen than just the things that we read here. He's given us an overall picture of everything, but much more is going to take place. Go with me one more time over to the book of Deuteronomy, 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. Verse 15, But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy, and strange gods and abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that come newly up from your fathers, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those that are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn into the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischief upon them. I will spend my arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, listen, and a devouring with burning heat. With bitter destruction I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and the terror therein within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, and the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. This is the song of Moses. And his telling about Israel and how she's turned away from God, but it also has a greater view than just Israel. It has a view that goes much beyond it. But I always, when I read this, I'm reminded. In fact, I've jotted something in my Bible here that Israel was a favored nation with God, and how she turned away from God. She turned her back on God, and no longer is she at this point the favored nation. In fact, God turned to the Gentiles. Amen. So she's not a favored nation at this point. We know he's going to return to Israel. We know he hasn't forgot her. We know that. But at this point, she's not a favored nation. So what I'm saying is, there come a time when she turned against God and did not do what God asked her to do. And I jotted down in my Bible a long time ago. I want to keep reminded of it. You know, we are a favored people. The church is. We are a favored people. And are we going to do God like Israel did him? Are we going to turn from him? Are we going to not do what he says? And I'm always reminded when I come to that portion of Scripture, I think about that. And I think about how the blessings of God upon the church and the responsibility that God has given us. I look at our church. I look at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. As the pastor, that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'm concerned. I don't want the favor of God to go off of this church. For I want to tell you something. We're not a special people. We're a people used of God. We're special to God, yes, but God can choose anybody. If we don't want to do it, he's got others that will. And that's the thing that concerns me when I see a people getting laxed and oh-hum. You know what? God's got other people out there he can use. God's got other churches he can raise up. You see, we need the blessings of God upon this church. We need to understand we are his favored. We're his people. But folks, he's got people out there. Let's don't turn our backs on him. Let's don't quit working. Let's don't quit doing. Amen? Because he's got other churches he can raise up if he wants to. Whether you understand or not, you won't. I'd have to go into a deep history. Blessed Hope Baptist Church was raised up for that very purpose here in this area. It was raised up because there was other churches in this area had an opportunity and they would not do it. And Blessed Hope was raised up for that purpose. I know that. But let me say to you, he can also raise others up if we don't want to do the work. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to do what's right. He's got others that will. He'll find them, won't he? You see, his work, and I've told you that before, but his work is more important than any of us. Salvation of souls is more important than any of us. Amen? So let's be sure, let's be thankful that we're favored as God has favored us here. Thank God for it, but let's don't quit. Amen? Let's don't quit. Let's don't back off. Let's keep going. Let's keep working. Let's keep seeing people saved. Let's keep doing the work of God. Let's get that building finished out there so we can get boys and girls running through it. Jerry, I think you was gone when I told him that when I look out there, I don't see cement and boards and cement floor and blocks and boards. I see boys and girls. I see little boys and girls. I see adults. That's what I see when I look at that building project. Amen. And I just want to remember something. Let's get it done. Every one of us. All of us. Amen. Let's just get it done. Back in the book of Revelation, the Lord said this time is going to be so terrible. The Lord said himself over in Matthew, the 24th chapter, here's what he said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. The time of tribulation is going to be so horrible, so terrible, that God will have to shorten the time or there would be no flesh saved, could not stand it, could not come through it. That's how horrible it's going to be. And you see in verse 9 at the end of it, he says, of course, in verse 9, he says, the men were scorched with great heat, blaspheming the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. See, when a man rejects the love of God, judgment will not change their heart. Men have rejected the love of God Almighty and said no to Jesus Christ, and now comes judgment, and what are they doing? They're still blaspheming God. They sold their soul to the devil, and they took the mark and worshiped the image, and they've sold their soul. Amen. And so their hearts are not changed. Verse number 10, verse number 11 says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Here we see a great darkness that's poured out. That happened back in Egypt also. And the Bible speaks back in the book of Exodus of the darkness that could be felt. This great darkness, and if you notice what they were doing, they were gnawing, because of the great pain, they were gnawing their tongue. Sometimes I wish God wouldn't give me so vivid illustrations. I woke up here the other night, in the middle of the night, and I had bitten my tongue. I did not bring the blood. I don't know why, because, oh, that hurt. I don't know why I did it. But when I was studying this, I said, okay, Lord, I understand. It hurts. It hurts. Can you imagine? The Bible's talking about someone because of the pain of the other things that's happened to them. The sores and all of this that they're going through, they begin to gnaw their tongue in pain. Whew. Can't imagine if that's what the Bible says. Amen? The very tongue that was given unto them to praise God with. That's what he gave it to them for. That's what he gave our tongue for. And with that very tongue, they're going to blaspheme God and begin to gnaw their pains. We find out, of course, that they do not repent. He blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores and repented not of their deeds. Why don't you go back with me to the book of Romans just for a couple moments here. Romans 2. Second chapter of the book of Romans. The Bible says, therefore, verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Listen to this, verse number 4. He says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The whole purpose here that God is good to people is to lead them to repentance. And God certainly has been good to this earth. And it should lead them to repentance. But listen to what the next verse says. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's what God's talking about right now, this judgment that's coming. And he said they brought it upon themselves because of the hardness of heart. Let me just say something to you as a people, as Blessed Hope Baptist Church, as a pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Please, please, please do not let your heart get hard. Let me say that and beg of you. Keep a tender, sweet, tender heart to the things of God. It's very easy to get hardened. You can get hardened to the Word of God. You hear it, but it just kind of glances off. Your heart gets hard. Yes, Christians can do that too. Please, folk, don't do that. Don't let your heart do that. Stay tender. Stay tender to the precious Word of God and to God's dealing in your life. Amen. In verse number 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. And he says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But listen, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And what he's simply again saying there again, it's because the hardness of men's heart. Can you imagine the hardness of heart that would cause a man to go through what he's going through here and still look up, gnawing their tongue, use that tongue to blaspheme God with, and repent not? You see, this is something, we had better get a hold of. We ought to get back and do much preaching about repentance. That's a lost message. There needs to be repentance. Amen? Turning our hearts back to God, getting things right with the Lord. There needs to be repentance in our life. Amen? And you won't do that if you have a hard heart. You allowed your heart to get hard. You won't repent like you should and be right with God like you ought to be right with God. Amen? So we need not to do that. We need to keep our hearts soft and tender and let the Word of God do what it needs to do for us. All right. And of course, the Bible tells us, and you're familiar with the portion of Scripture in the book of Jeremiah where he talked about that the heart is deceitfully wicked, deceitfully above all, deceitfully wicked, terrible, horrible. And then he says, they ask the question, who can know it? And he goes on to answer it. He says, I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. Now, you and I need to understand something. God knows our heart. He knows what it is. He said, I try the reins. That's the inward person. The reins is the inward person. God tries them. Knows right now you and my heart's condition. Amen. So we're not fooling God. Amen. So we need to have tender hearts toward the Lord. Verse number 12, he says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The first mention of the book, of the river Euphrates is found in Genesis, the second chapter. The last time it's mentioned here in the book of Revelation, the 16th chapter. 21 times in the Bible, I counted them in a concordance. 21 times in the Bible, it mentions the river Euphrates. This is the river, one of the rivers that went out. There was a river that went out, the Bible says, out of the Garden of Eden. And it went into four heads. One of those heads was the Euphrates River. And that's the first mention of the Euphrates River in the Bible in the second chapter of the book of Genesis. One man said this, that area, and talking about the area of the Euphrates River and that area over there, was the cradle of man's civilization. It also will be its grave. It all began over there. It's all going to end over there. You see, it was, and of course, if you understand, and I'm sure you do, that the western border of the land that God gave Abraham was the Mediterranean Sea. The eastern border of the land that God gave Israel was the Euphrates River. And Israel is going to get it all back someday. That's for sure. It belongs to her. God gave it to her. But what we see here is, in this verse of Scripture, that it's dried up. Now, you got to remember something. This river is somewhere between 1,700 and 1,800 miles long. There is some places, they tell me, it's over 1,300 feet wide. I don't know how wide it is, but there's different areas. But it is a wide, wide river. It's always been a problem for armies in the past to ever get across it. It's been difficult. They couldn't hardly do it. I know we have modern warfare today. But the Bible says that that river is going to dry up. But I also got to thinking about that maybe the source of it would dry up. If you remember, the source of the river is the mountainous areas up around where Mount Ararat is. That's where Noah landed. And that's ice caps all over those mountains up in there. And I got to thinking about maybe it's a possibility that maybe when that heat comes and melts all of that, the source of the Euphrates River dries up. I don't know how he's going to do it. I'm simply saying to you, the Bible says that river dries up. And it dries up to prepare the way of the kings of the east. Many times in the Bible, you talk about the kings of the earth. You see that over and over and over in the Bible. But here you're talking about the kings of the east. It's going to be prepared. And the reason, we're not going to get time to get into all the other scriptures tonight concerning the battle of Armageddon. But the reason for it is God is going to bring them all from all over the world. That's what the Bible says. All over the world, he's going to bring them over here to this area in the Valley of Jehoshaphat for that battle of Armageddon. We'll see India coming. We'll see Japan coming. We'll see China coming. Vietnam is another one of those eastern countries over. Malaysia and Indonesia and some of those are all eastern countries. And the Bible says that he dried that river up and there'll be no problem for them to just come right across the river. Now, one of the things I believe is this. I believe by this time, I believe a lot of your vehicles are going to be down. I believe they'll be going on horseback and a lot of other ways. Because you've got to look at all the other plagues that's been happening. And I think a lot of their vehicles and things that we would use today won't be functional. And so here they come across those rivers. And they're all going to gather in the valley there, Jehoshaphat, for the battle of Armageddon. And the Bible says, we'll get into it next week, but the Bible says he's going to gather them from all over the world. All over the world. And then he's going to pour out his judgment at the battle of Armageddon. Let's pray. Father, again thanking you today for your goodness and your kindness, your wonderful grace. Thank you, Father, for loving us, and thank you for giving us the Bible, the Word of God. Thanking you, Father, to help us, Lord, to just understand just a little bit of it that would help encourage our hearts to live for you and do what you want us to do. And I ask you here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Father, keep us going in the right direction, doing the right things, pleasing you always. Now we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.